Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Hulley. In this episode, we'll be previewing the match for Fulham against Newcastle United. I look forward to speaking with David. I'm going to bring him on in 1 second. I just want to mention, please do check out the episode I did a little earlier today. It's called View from the Opposition. This was an interview with Jake Jackman of Newcastle360.com. He gave you his perspective on this upcoming match. I thought it was pretty revealing. It's a 45-minute show. I think you'll enjoy what Jake had to share from a Newcastle perspective, so please do check that out. But let's get on with the show, and I want to bring David back on the line. David, how you doing, my friend? It's been a while since I talked to you. What, 24 hours?
Not even that. We did the show later yesterday, so yeah, good to be back.
That's right.
I really enjoyed the show yesterday, and
I was especially pleased
with my prediction about the you saying I'd be five places higher than what I would. I was just pluck that figure out of the air.
Wow.
And so I don't know how well it's going to carry on, but I've just in front of me got a book of 1,500 pages long with literally every fact and figure that you should know if you're going to be a good quiz, and I've got to learn all of this. So I don't know. I might ask you a random question at some point just to see how on the ball you are, Russ.
Okay. Just fire away whenever you want, David.
Okay.
I'm fine. I don't have any problem with that.
I'm going to make it easy for you. I've opened to the page on United States presidents, yeah? United States presidents. So tell me, Russ, who was the unlucky 13th president of the United States?
Oh, boy, David, you're making me go way back. I don't know. You tell me.
I've never heard of this guy, I have to admit. His name was Millard Fillmore.
Millard Fillmore, yes, okay.
And he was from New York, and he lived 1800 to 1874, and he was a Whig, and he served from 1850 to 1853. And I've got a book which is 1,400-odd pages long with facts like this in it. That's just, you know, there's two pages. It lists every president, vice president, their birthplaces, and more. So you can imagine how much I'm going to cram in, but today, apart from that, we're going to be talking about Fulham only, and I'm very much looking forward to the start of the season, as we always do.
Yeah, listen, I'm excited for the beginning of the season. I'm also excited to do this show with you. We do have the audio clip from the club of Slavisa. It's funny because the Cottage Talk co-host, we actually have a DM group that goes about, and there have been some interesting DMs going back and forth between the co-hosts about this audio clip. It was, you know, the video version of it. So, David, you told me you have not seen it yet, so you're going to be listening to it for the first time. So I really want your take of this interview with Slavisa. I find it revealing, and I think you will as well. So why don't we start the show by hearing from the Fulham head coach. Thank you, James Wyatt and Sarah Brooks, for allowing us to use the audio clips over the years. And thank you, James, for sending this one to us so I could play it during the show. Without further ado, David, here is Slavisa Jokanović being interviewed by Sarah Brooks. Here we go. And it's not playing.
Slavisa, happy new season.
Here we go.
Under
we
the
go.
Floodlights,
hello,
Brady Koshish against one of the newly relegated teams is an exciting prospect for you. How are the teams shaping up for tomorrow night?
Yes, it's exciting. We're going to open the championship against Newcastle. Newcastle is really clear example how we're going to tough this season what is front of us. It's a big club who invests many money, who want to immediately back in the Premier League. And it's a great test for us. Sometimes it's very rare where you play at the beginning with a very strong team. And I believe it's going to be very, very good chance for us to offer our best face in this moment. And at the end of the day, it's very important what result we're going to make. It's a great chance for us to start to win the points, and let's win.
Another big club, Aston Villa. Ross McCormack obviously went to Aston Villa officially this morning. Is that disappointing? It's obviously disappointing because you're losing your top striker, having lost Moussa Dembélé also. What plans are in place to reinvest that money and bring in new players for you, for the squad that you need?
It's very, very clear after the loss of these two players, we have to make investment, and I expect we're gonna use this this money and more for improve our ourselves. It's now it's very clear we have to looking for the for the for the strikers between another things, and we have some names in our mind. I expect we are gonna be fast and find a replacement for this position.
You said that you need 4 or 5 new players. Is that all positions across the pitch to strengthen that squad for the 46 plus games ahead?
Yes, it's, we are actually right now we are very short squad. I believe we need thinking about some centre back, some centre midfielder, and definitely about one or two strikers. And this is this 3, 4, 5 players. What I believe it's key players and very important sign for us. I have opportunity today to speak with the owner. He understands the situation. I am sure he will gonna support us.
But you still believe you have a squad capable of beating Newcastle tomorrow night with what you have right now?
Yes, I am very happy how that's working in the training ground. I believe he understands very well way what we chose for this the beginning of the season. We made at the end in the preseason some interesting result against some in preseason games.
You talked last season about wanting more energy in the squad. Do you think the new signings that you've brought in are bringing that energy, that pace, and that you were looking for last season?
Yes, this is one of the reasons. It generally can be tomorrow night can be start of some new project. It's last years our project didn't be so successful, and we have to try solution and try the way for change this situation. We bring some fresh blood, and I need still more blood in my team, and I expect we can offer something different. I can understand it for our supporters and be in some way a little bit disappointed because Ross McCormack is not with us. He's a fantastic player. He can score many goals with us. Our day at the beginning was stay with him. He don't accept this.
When did you have that conversation? Because you talked last season about building the team around Ross. So you had to make a decision fairly early in pre-season if Ross McCormack had said that he didn't want to stay.
I say in January I want to build a team against him, and the end of the season I say it's important to build against him at the beginning of the preseason too. But it's simple, he chose different way, and he started with tired or started without enough desire for participate, and at the end I talking with him many times, and he simply don't accept. In one moment I opened the door for him and tell his bit with the club if this is his last decision. I repeat, it's Ross McCormack is fantastic player, fantastic man. He scored with us many goals. He will gonna score with Aston Villa too. But Ross McCormack is part of the project. What is not what is didn't be so successful. We decide something different with different people. I wish him all the best. And in this moment, is I am interested in only about people. What is with me here in Hulam, and what is. And people who really want to push hard with desire for put ourselves, all ourselves in next level.
And losing that experience in the dressing room presumably means that you, when you are looking for new players, there will be a balance between experience and youth to make sure you have that mix in the changing room.
Yes, we start a new project, And in this way, we're gonna lose some players, and we're gonna bring some different. And it's generally what we need is energy. What we are talking before, we need desire. We need push still more hard. What we made in pre-season and before, and we have to find a different way. This way, what we find it last 3 years is not nobody is happy, nobody is enough satisfied, and it's time for turn everything and try find a more successful way. Thank you so much.
Okay, David, we are back, and that was an interview done today with the Fulham head coach, Slavisa Jokanović, by Director of Communications, Sarah Brooks. And thank you, as always, James White, for sending us that audio clip. And as we have in several shows, David, we started the audio clip with a great Goldman. That was a great Goldman. It wasn't going to begin, so that's how we started it. But once it got going, I found some very revealing things in this interview with him. David, I've written three different parts, but I just want to get your overall thoughts on this interview with Slavisa Jokanović today.
Well, obviously, you know, the big focus point is about the McCormack situation. And I might just add, Koch's tour wouldn't be the same if there was not a Goldman. There's got to be at least a Goldman every show. It should be written
exactly.
It's got to be written into the script almost. Obviously, if it was written into the script, I suppose it wouldn't be a Goldman. But nevertheless,
correct.
That's a slight paradox. But we move on. Yeah, I think
okay.
Obviously that, you know, the, I don't know about three parts to it. I'd be interested to hear what your three parts are. There were definitely two parts to it, obviously.
Okay.
Ross McCormack and life after Ross McCormack.
Okay. And that's all. That's obviously going to be part of this discussion that I want to have on the audio clip, Dave. I want to start here. Before we really get into talking about McCormack, he had a very interesting line in here because he was asked about the money for McCormack, and Slavisa came back and says, we will use this money and more. I found that very interesting. What were your thoughts when he said more?
I don't know really what to make of that, but obviously, it's pretty much common knowledge that you know that we want more players. Savisa said it, even Aluku said it apparently as well, that we're looking for more players. I'm not sure how much more it needs to be said really, in case they're trying to drop subtle hints to Shahid Khan. But no, it's clear we need more players because,
sure.
As I say, once we took the kids out of the equation last Saturday, the actual number of senior players was pretty poor. And we've lost McCormack. So up front, I don't know. I mean, who do we have as an out-and-out striker? Well, we have two, I guess, don't we, in Matt Smith and Corey Woodrow, really.
Corey Woodrow, yeah.
I mean, the others are all kind of striker come wide men. They could play there, but they're
sure.
More associated with perhaps, not as a central role anyway, or that we may see them there. So I think it's clear that throughout the whole team, we apart from, I would say, the goalkeeping situation, I think out of the three goalkeepers now, we should have, someone there who can play. And I think Joran has thrown his hat in the ring pretty well with a performance, against Palace. Obviously, I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights, and I was mightily impressed the way he came and claimed the ball right at the edge of his penalty area.
Right.
We talk about commanding the six-yard box. He was right out there, so...
Absolutely.
Someone who's going to do that is going to get a bonus point from me. But, certainly we know new players have to be brought in, and we have, the money to do that. I think we're probably actually, I don't know how much we do have, but when you say more, I don't know if you mean more in players or more as in more than the $12 million we've received for McCormack.
Right. Again, I'm just listening to it. I took it as they're going to that he needs the money from McCormack and potentially more after that, David. I'm just listening to this interview and I just found that one word interesting because he has high ambition. We're talking about Slavisa. I've said this before. I don't think Slavisa just wants to get us in the top six, David. I think he wants automatic promotion. I know that sounds crazy, but he has huge ambitions. So I think that comment of using this money and more was telling that that he wants to spend money and that he'll probably need more than just the McCormack money. That's the way I took it.
Well, I think, you know, Mike's talked about this before. We've speculated on McCormack going for a long time, and that, you know, we knew we were talking in the double figures in millions was a potential thing. And, you know, from what I believe, this is 12 million with potential of 4 million add-ons if targets are met. So we have 12 in the bag. Maybe we'll get another 4 potentially, although one of those is Villa getting promoted, so maybe not. And, you know, Mike has always said for 12 million, that or that kind of figure, you can pick up, you know, 3 or 4 good players at this level.
True.
And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, we could bring in more than 5 players, or, you know, if they're all sort of 1 million, 2 million pound kind of players, well, we're going to see less players coming in, but of a higher price. And there's names being bandied around out there still. And, you know, we've got, of course, this is, you know, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned this to me, actually. We have a Ruiz apparently about to join us as well. Another Ruiz. Just after we...
I've actually not seen that, David.
You haven't seen that?
No, I have not.
That's the chap whose name begins with J and whatever, but that's his
no,
final
name. No, that's
Sanchez.
Name, you
know. Yeah, but it's Ruiz, Sanchez Ruiz.
Oh, okay, Sanchez Ruiz, okay.
But,
I didn't realize it was another Ruiz.
Yeah, okay. No, it could be really great for everyone who has Ruiz on the back of their shirt. Saves them having to go out and buy another shirt this year, perhaps. So it could be really good for them. But I guess the squad number won't be right. But, yeah, no, we have the potential of another Ruiz. He's meant to be close. And there's been several names I'm sure you've seen banded around who are rosy joining. And it is, at the moment, I think we need both quality and quantity. It's not like we need one star player or two star players. I think we do need still... in certain areas more, but until we actually see what Slavisa's plan is and how he plans to send us out, we don't really know what to expect and where we do need the players, because we don't know who's going to figure and who's not. There's still people in the background, like Bodaroff, of course, are still around. Will he be going? I guess he will. You know, what's going to happen with Ream and Stearman? You know, Kavanagh, I guess, I mean, he's still training with the first team, but is he going to be involved? Matilla. And there's lots of people who are on the periphery who have made first team appearances. But I think that the general consensus is consistently they're not good enough to be in the first team. So really, you want a squad of players, you'd be happy with any one of them being in the first team, I think, not a situation where you're relying on, you know, someone to come in and do a job that maybe it's not, they're not up to that, if you know what I mean. You don't want that pressure. And I mean, it's not fair on the players either, because someone like Kavanagh comes in and has a stinker like last year. Crowd get on his back. It's not a nice situation to be in as a player. You do feel for them. You really do. Even
right.
Jazz Richards, I mean, you know, the stick he got at Brentford last year was pretty cruel. I mean, he was poor. He was awful, actually. He cost us a goal, and he cost us a match potentially by, you know, getting Brentford off to a great start. But still, you know, the criticism he and others got, it's not nice to see that.
No,
and,
I agree with
so you want players to come in the squad that have the ability to, you know, to slot straight in there. You know, the days
I agree
of having the days of having the same 11 every week, you know, they're not here, they've gone. You have to have almost 2 players for every position, literally, and who are all good enough to be there on merit. And
right.
So they come in, they fit in seamlessly, the crowd don't get on their back. You end up with, you know, otherwise, it's just not a good thing. I mean, we need a positive place. We need the crowd to be positive, because Craven Cottage used to be a very positive place, a fortress. But, you know, the last few seasons, we've been so poor at home. One little mistake and the crowd have been on the back. And we need to rebuild that spirit and everything with the crowd. So, yeah,
no, listen,
I think we definitely need the new players in there. But
sure.
It's hard to say for sure, because we're still in, you know, central midfield, we have lots of players. Defence, we still have quite a few players. Strikers, maybe not so. But, you know, what's this formation going to be? Do we know? I don't really know. This picking the team later on is going to be the most difficult one I've had for a long, long time.
David, let's just talk about this a little bit more, because I want to get into these 3 points. You've already been going off a little bit on the used money and more, and I just found that last word very interesting. Mike has said we could probably, say for £12 million, you could potentially get 4 players for 3 each. You could get 3 players for 4 each. You know. But the thing is, what they need, and after talking to the Newcastle blogger, I'm realizing you've already said this. You need players that can step right in and play. You need key players. You need starters. And if they don't start, they should be able to start at some point. At this point, I don't think squad players are what they need. They need potential starters that also potentially will be coming off the bench in certain situations. So it's kind of a mix and match. That's why I find it interesting that he talked about, using the money and more, because you might need more. That doesn't mean that you spend, David, like $8 million on a striker. You know, I think that what you do, and this is just my thoughts, David, you can spend a good amount of money on a striker, but you spread it out, because I think you can get a good amount of players for that money, and then if you need a little bit more to get that additional player, so be it. But they are in position, David, to really get the players financially that Slavisa needs. And the other point that I wanted to mention, because you've already been talking about this, he mentioned during the audio clip that he's looking for a center back, a central midfielder, and 1 or 2 strikers. So what are your thoughts about that? You know, we've talked about the team right now. You've already said that in each position, basically, you need cover. You need an additional player for each position. So do you agree with him with what he said in the video about those 3 positions?
Well, I've yet to see, obviously, all the new players play in live, so to speak, with my own eyes. I've seen clips, and you can't get a full picture watching that. It's very difficult, even, as I said to you before, watching a stream, because you don't. You only get to see the camera angles that you're given. You don't always get to see the whole field of play. Just it's more zoomed in on the play. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all these new guys, whoever features tomorrow. Ironically, at the tennis club, there's a Middlesbrough season ticket holder there I was with, and he said, "What a great player Callis is." You know, he was actually hoping Middlesbrough would sign him. They said, "We've got a great player there," and I haven't seen him yet. And I've been very shy to give him praise at the moment, or too excited, because he does come from the other team in Fulham, of course.
Okay,
so
David.
a slight sore point, but I think that, you know, one of the sort of conceptions is that him and Maddle will be our first choice central defensive partnership, but it's been pointed out that neither of them are particularly tall. Callis can also play at fullback, and it'll be interesting to see what actually happens tomorrow, of course, with, you know, Fredericks being out.
That's
will
right.
Will we see Callis at right back and someone else in the middle? And that's obviously, that is where, if that's what Slavisa is thinking, then he's thinking, well, actually, I'm going to have to play Stearman and Ream, and I'm not confident about either of these guys. This is why we need another centre-back. That could be an example of why he's saying that.
No, that's actually a good example. I'm glad that you brought up Callis, because we're going into this match, and we've been talking a great deal about Ryan Sessegnon at left-back. Well, do you have him go out there, David? You know, 16 years old against Newcastle. Do you do that? Or do you play it safe and you move Callis to right back and Adoy to left back?
Well, I think that is kind of where we're going to be with the selection tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think, personally, from what I've heard and what I've read and what people have said, I'd have more faith in Sessegnon there than I would actually with Malone. That's a little bit of a slight on Malone, because I haven't seen him play.
Sure.
And it's a shame then if, you know, you're bringing someone in and you haven't got, you know, the confidence to play him at all. So why is he there? Because, again, okay, he's there because it was a deal to get rid of Richards, I suppose. But have we gained out of it? If we've got another player who's not that good as a defender either, then it's not much cop. But so yeah, I think that is really where we're going to be going tomorrow night, whether we're going to see Sessegnon or Malone at left back and Adoy at right, or whether we're going to see Adoy at left and maybe Callis at right, in which case you might see Stearman or Ream in the middle there. I'd say Stearman. But in that case, neither of them have been super impressive, although I think Slavisa does have a little bit of faith in Stearman. He just, because he, again, he's popped up at right back as well. You know, much
he has.
As much as I don't like it, you know, he could even play him at right back tomorrow.
He
may
he could.
Palace is the better defender. But still, that it does definitely suggest that somewhere in there, with all these questions and not quite sure who should play where, maybe another centre back is what we need.
Right.
The problem, of course, with that is you get to a scenario when they're all fit. You don't want to be leaving any of them out if they're all that good, unless you play, of course, three backs. Centre midfield
exactly.
is a different one, of course. It's Scott Parker, we don't expect him to play every week, of course, every game. McDonald, you know, could be. Both similar player-ish in their, or their positions. You know, Tynecliffe, of course, as well there. Christensen, who can play there, although he tends to favour to play him elsewhere. So, again, we do have numbers in centre midfield, and that's, you know, not counting people like Matilla as well, of course. But I'm not sure. I mean, if anything, it's more the width is the question, isn't it? And it depends to say what he's looking to play. Is he going to play a sort of a three in midfield or a five in midfield with one central striker? I'm not sure yet until I see the players how it's really going to all pan out and who's best. But I think certainly, I think defender, I can understand defender and striker more than I can understand centre midfielder.
Okay.
Because, you know, McDonald, if we're led to believe, is kind of, you know, the, I wouldn't say the marquee signing, but he is, you know, a quality midfielder. He played well against us, and he should really be a first choice in there. How many other players can you get in the team? We've only got, you know, 10 outfield players, remember.
I hear you, David. What's interesting, and again, another Goldman to me, because I've been going as Josebed Sanchez, but as you mentioned, David Holly, right again, it's Josebed Sanchez Ruiz. So David Holly, right again. Right again, my friend. All right, the third part of this, and this is the part that I really want your take on, David, what he said about Ross McCormack at the very end of the audio clip. He talked a little bit about it, and I just jotted down, desire to participate are three words I took out of it. What did you take out of what Savisa had to share about Ross McCormack?
Well, I mean, there's been lots of discussion about McCormack's fitness at the start of the season. In his first season with us, he didn't, you know, it took him a long time to sort of get going, really. Certainly didn't hit the ground running. Last season, perhaps a little bit better, but still very quiet. And I don't know if you can be as direct as that. You know, these guys are supposed to be professionals and everything, but it does seem that McCormack finds it harder to come back after the summer. And I think, you know, we've talked about it before when he played. People have expressed sort of their opinion that perhaps he's overweight. He looks like he's... I think, he's, you know, partly it's just his physique, because people are like that. You get these sort of barrel-chested players. You know, people who have that, you know, someone like Dan Byrne is the opposite. Dan Byrne probably weighs more than you or I do by miles, Russ. So, you know, because he, even though he looks like a sort of, a, you know, a lamppost or whatever. But... You know, it's muscle there, and he's well toned and stuff. You know, Damien Duff was one who was famously had sort of very very little body fat and things, and he was, you know, and it, but people have, you know, different shapes. We all come in different shapes and sizes. It doesn't necessarily mean you're physically unfit. But McCormack, I think, is one of those blessed with that kind of physique where he does look like he's probably carrying weight, even if he's not. But you know, we've seen a lot of games with McCormack. You know, signing new contracts. He's obviously got a very kind of active agent who's, you know, really out there. And you know, in McCormack's case, done a great job for him. I mean, how much money has McCormack generated in his moves between clubs and new contracts? And, you know, I don't know if it's still the case, if they still get a cut of the transfer fee or not. They used to anyway. I mean, used to be a bigger cut if you didn't want to go than if you did want to go. I think it used to be something like, I'm sure it used to be in the old days, you used to get a 5% cut if you didn't want to be transferred and 2.5% if you forced the move through, which is kind of, you know, it's really sort of a, again, a very paradoxical situation that you force a transfer and you get a backhander from it. But
right.
He's done very well for himself. But, you know, I think it was a little bit of a shot across the bows, really, saying this guy... He didn't want to be here. We were happy, you know, we wanted to keep him. We were prepared to keep him, but he, you know, he was angling for a move away. And I think, you know, that was, we did say it, talk about it back in January, that I said to you then, I think, that although he signed a new contract, I think Mike as well said it, you know, we thought he'd be off in the summer. There was talk of him going in the January transfer window, and I felt at that time a deal was done, actually. The club said, right, we'll give you a better contract with a break clause in it, you know, a release clause, but you stay now for the rest of the season and we'll let you go in the summer. That's kind of the inference I got from the January one. And the point was that he signed a better contract, which meant that we get a better fee for him, which seems to be the case. This is a man that, you know, if you break away from all the spin and lies that we paid £15 million for him, you know, I think we paid £6 million for him with add-ons, and some or all of those add-ons were never reached because we didn't reach the targets that had been set. So we paid certainly less than we've got, you know, than we've got back for him. So to get a return and a profit on a player who probably didn't want to play for us and is 30 years old in a week or two, it's actually, you know, take away the goals and what we do lose. It's fantastic business, of course. Fantastic business.
It is.
You know, he's, you know, potentially, if he gets 20 goals and Villa get promoted, we could get £16 million from what I believe. So, you know, it's phenomenal money. It would be our record transfer if that was the case. So, yeah, if the guy doesn't want to be at Fulham and that is the inference you get from it, then great business, get rid of him. He is, you know, maybe, and he has been an unsettling figure. You know, he's one of them that caused me to invent that word "fuction" in the camp, if you remember. the portmanteau of ruction and faction. He is part of the faction, and now he's fucked off basically. To just carry on with it. Sorry that you have to change the rating of the show, Russ, but it just kind of went quite well.
Yes. Now I have to change. Thank you, David. Now I have to change the rating. But no, listen. I wanted to end talking about the audio clip about the comments about McCormack from Suvisa. Just listen to it. You know, it is broken English. You know, maybe I'm reading something wrong into it, but take a listen and you make your own decision on what Suvisa was sharing in that video. I find it very interesting. But David, let's move on. And since we basically were talking about the needs for Fulham still, we're going to jump over that in the college talk roundtable. But I want to ask you this. I have two topics I want to talk to you about and not spend too much time on it. I know it's just been preseason, but has there been anything Fulham have done with the additions to the squad and their play during the friendlies that encourage you? Now, I know you haven't seen them yet, but I'm just talking about what you've listened to, what you've learned about the guys that have come in. Are you encouraged by anything? Now I'm just going to say one thing. The one thing that you have said for, I want to say, 2 years straight, we need pace. We need pace. David, I think we got pace now. That's my only thought, but I want your thoughts on this subject about how Fulham have done in the preseason with the additions and the play.
Well, that's right, absolutely right. I mean, I'm a bit of a, you know, a Grinch or whatever. I'm spoiling Christmas. I'm a Grinch when it comes to friendlies. I don't like friendlies because I like to see a competitive match where players are playing to the best of their abilities, maybe, and putting the tackles in and everything else. And in a friendly, you don't always get to see that, unfortunately. It's quite, you know, low key. But certainly one thing that you can't sort of, I suppose, you can't hide from, and you're not in a friendly match, you can still, you know, see the pace that's there. And that has been, you know, the massive problem. And you know that. As I say, I've been saying it for years. Others have been saying it for years. The lack of pace in our team, the ability to counter, the ability to get back even to defend as well. You know, we see someone like Ryan Fredericks, who's probably not a fantastic footballer really, but he's got great pace, and what a difference it just makes. You know, if he had great footballing technique as well, with his pace, he would be lethal. You know, but he at least it's exciting when we see him, and you know, people like Tom Kearney and others have slipped balls into him, and he's made up 2 yards on you know, other guys to get to the ball first. And having more people in the team making these overlapping runs and or even running with the ball, defenders hate pacey people running at them with the ball. You're running backwards.
Right.
You know what it's like to run backwards and try and, you know, track someone. They go one way or the other. So the pace is the thing, and that brings other people into the game. As I was saying on the show last night, someone like Tom Kearney should thrive on it. The pace will stretch the game out. It'll give, you know, more angles for passes and things. That's what, you know, I'd like to see from it. So, yeah, the pace is what excites me most. I haven't seen these players. I haven't seen their technique or their abilities, as I say, but Fredericks, he's not, you know, he's not a fantastic player. He's really not, but he's got the pace, and that makes it exciting, and it makes things happen. And if we've got a few people like that, then, you know, things are going to happen, we hope. And it's just, as long as we've got someone at the end of it to bang the ball in the net, you know, we should be okay from it.
Yeah, David, listen, it's interesting because when I've been watching some of these streams and then seeing the highlights, and I see the pace, and I've been talking to Mike when he's actually seen them too, I think of you right away, and I think of your comments. But it hasn't just been you. It's been the other co-hosts. It's been Mike as well. And if you have pace, that can really help you in so many ways. It can help you defensively. That pace, you know, especially going forward, the pressing style he wants to play could be huge this season. And also on the counter, it could be a huge help. But like you said, it also come down to, you can have all the pace in the world, but someone has to put the ball in the back of the net. So let's hope that they have someone that can do that, or a few players that can do that. But I was curious your thoughts, because you've talked so much about pace, and I'm looking forward to getting your take from this Newcastle match tomorrow, because I want to see your firsthand look at all these new players and what you think, because I do value your opinion, David. Let's move on. And now let's go to something that I hope we don't talk about during the season, David. I don't, but I'm going to bring it up right now. Do you think Fulham will be in a third consecutive relegation battle in the Championship? I could throw in the Premier League as well, but we're just talking about the Championship. Do you think things will be different this year?
Well, it certainly shouldn't be. I think Slavisa, I know Emilio has his reservations still, but I think in the main, most of us feel that he is the right man for the job, and that his experience and everything will come through. I mean, the unknown factor is that some of these guys coming in and some of the guys yet to come in are not British-based players. They haven't played in Britain in the Championship. Their pace is very good, and that's great, but will they be up to the physicality of the Championship? Who knows? How will they be on a cold Tuesday night somewhere up north? You know, especially if we have to play on horrible pitches. You know, having all the pace in the world is great, but if there's any pitches like we faced occasionally, horrible, rutted pitches like at Sheffield Wednesday, then it's not a great place to be, even if you've got pace. So it's interesting to see, but I think Slavisa's got, you know, very much a clear vision of what he wants to do. And we've seen, in the main, you know, the fact that we needed yet again a big clear out. It's just how quickly the pieces fit together, and how,
sure,
you know, how quickly we can hit the ground running. If we hit the ground running straight away, it could be like we said last night, you know, 10th, 9th, 8th, even your 5th is possible, most certainly. Playoffs are definitely possible. Automatic promotion, we need a perfect storm for that. Things have got to
go
better than anyone expects. But yes, most certainly, if things don't work as well, then lower half of the table. But I think, you know, I do think the pace will give us an added dimension to the game that we haven't had before. We've still got some of the old faces around, you know, the experience of Parker, the energy of Tynecliffe, Kearney's, skill and everything. I'm sure we're going to see these people featuring. McDonald, hopefully, to do a good job as well. So I don't foresee a relegation, but I'm much more confident that we can do better this season than last year.
Well, that's great to hear, David. And it's funny because the conversation we had last night on the prior episode with Emilio and Mike, Emilio was talking about having to win more matches on the road. And here's a question I have for you, because you are someone that has talked about pace for such a long time. And you can answer this because you've been to so many away matches. I think that they will not be in a relegation battle, because I think they're going to be better away from Craven Cottage. And I think pace has something to do with that. I think pace travels well, David. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, for the classic away day performance, you know, the smash and grab, you can, if you can sit back and soak up the pressure, The home team who are expected to do well can get frustrated. They can leave themselves exposed. You've got pace. You can exploit that. And that's, you know, that, whether we've got the right people who can shut up shop, I don't know. You know, whether we're going to have a perhaps, you know, a sort of a free-flowing situation where we have very open games, and it'll be whoever can score most, I don't know, but which, I think we're trying to get away from that a little bit. Certainly, you know, we have to cut out the ridiculous goals that we've been conceded. And if we can do that, as I say, to go away from home and to be able to, you know, sit back, soak up the pressure when needed, but attack on the break. You know, and this is, you know, the example we talked about last year with Leicester, who had very little possession. So, you know, we're going from a team that has a lot of possession and very few opportunities to score sometimes, to a team that has much less possession but still, you know, as many if not more scoring opportunities. And that's from just being able to, you know, when you get the chance with the ball, use it efficiently. And that's what pace allows you to do. So just, yeah,
yes.
I think in some ways it's almost a better quality to have away from home than at home, if you think about it in terms of smash and grab.
It's a great point. That's why when he was talking about it last night, I was thinking about the improvement we have with pacey players and how it might help us. You know, I'm thinking of Preston North End coming up. Now, I know we played a friendly with them and we destroyed them, but with pacey players, maybe, again, you can beat them on the counter. You can really, like you said, do smash and grab, like you said, David. So I think that's one of the reasons why I don't think this season we're going to be in a relegation battle, knock on wood, but I think the pace that we have, the players that we have, I just don't see it this season. I hope I'm right that we don't get into another relegation battle, because I've had enough of that, honestly. All right, David, let's now get into our preview. And what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm just going to read just some basic information from WhoScored.com on their preview of this match. And then I'm going to share some information from my interview with you, with Jake Jackman from Newcastle360.com, because I asked him if he is Slavica, how do you beat Newcastle? And I'll share with you a little bit, and then I'll get into have you share, you know, key players and looking forward to this match. But let's start with the information from WhoScored.com. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, match facts: Fulham have won their last five home matches against Newcastle in all competitions. Fulham have seen under 2.5 goals in their last three matches against Newcastle in all competitions. Here's their prediction. The new-look Fulham have impressed in preseason, losing only once in six games, and warmed up for this match by beating Crystal Palace 3-1 Saturday. Newcastle concluded an unbeaten preseason campaign with a 3-2 win over Vitesse, having stormed to a 3-0 halftime lead. Both sides have been given a complete overhaul by their managers this summer. Newcastle looks stronger on paper, but it might take time for them to gel with a score draw in the cards, 1-1. Now, David, I'll just name some players that fans should be looking out for tomorrow. Matt Ritchie, who gave Fulham all kinds of problems with Bournemouth, well, he's now with Newcastle. Dwight Gale, striker, formerly with Crystal Palace, is going to be up front for Newcastle. Isaac Hayden, formerly of Hull City, and Jack Colback is going to be their central midfielder, basically the two that are going to be basically just going to be looking after that back four. So they have a really solid team there, David. And I'm now going to share with you what Jake Jackman said to me. I asked him, how can Fulham basically win this match? I said, if you're Slavica, what would you do? This is what he told me, because he feels that his team is very balanced. He doesn't see any glaring weakness. But if he's Slavica, he says, go out the first 15 minutes and just go right at them. Unsettle them, because this is a new league for them. They might not be ready for how difficult the championship is, the pace of play. So go right at them in the first 15 minutes. You can't do that the entire match. But he said to unsettle them, to do what you can to unsettle them. So just want to get your thoughts on what I just shared with you, David, about Newcastle, and also – the comments from the Newcastle blogger, Jake Jackman?
Well, I think he must have been listening to Cottage Talk last year, because the number of times we said in the previews that we wanted a fast start from Fulham, we wanted to take the game to them, unsettle the opposition, try and get an early goal, you know, force them to change their game plan. And that's, you know, I think that's probably rings true for literally every football match you're going to play. Before the match, both managers have a game plan and tactics. You know, get an early goal. Alton says it. Look what happened at Brentford. You know, Ratjad Richards gave away possession. We conceded an early goal and we fell to pieces. And that's, you know, I think that's, you know, any match. It's sure having these ones, we know we had, used to have Kit Simons coming out and say, well, I decided to play negative for the first half and then go for them second half. You know, why? You know, why waste half a match? Why
sure.
let yourself be behind at half time? You know, always. I mean, you don't want to make rash, stupid moves early on. You don't want to just, you know, throw everybody forward, you know, recklessly. But, you know, you want to take the game to them, especially as the home side. You know, put the home side under, put the away side under pressure. Put any side under pressure that you're playing against. Don't let them settle. So, I think that would apply to nearly every football match you're ever going to be involved in, is to unsettle the opposition and to disrupt their game plan.
Okay, very good, David. So, with that said, who are your key players performing this match against Newcastle United?
Well, it's interesting you named the sort of Newcastle likely players, but I'm not sure if we even know, you know, what team they'll put out. Or, you know, they've got new additions in there. They've got a big squad. For Fulham, the key players, again, it depends who we play, what formation we play, and what our tactics are, really. I think, you know, this is a game where, you know, it's going to be difficult for us. So I think you go back to the sort of the old sort of things from last year, really, the spine of the team. Is our spine stronger than their spine? Can we, you know, can we out-muscle them? Can we be stronger than them? So you've got to look through the middle of the team, and that's people going to be like, you know, maybe McDonald, Parker if he's playing, the central defenders. And then, of course, you know, as we said last night, we've talked Tom Caney up a long way. So Tom Caney now, he's got a lot to live up to this season. We think that he could be our player of the season. He could be our vice-captain because, you know, we've lost Dan Byrne, who did it sometimes. We've lost McCormack, of course, who did it sometimes. Who was captain, of course. And so who else is there? And, you know, and there's not many people, although I'm not sure if Tom Caney would be my choice necessarily. I want him to play his game, not worry about these things. I would imagine people like McDonald would be a vice-captain potential, or maybe one of the defenders. Someone like Maddle even could be a captain-type potential, someone at the back. But I think we're looking at the spine, and so I want to see big performances from the two centre-backs, whoever they are. McDonald and or Parker in the centre midfield, and Caney, really. They're the key players for me.
Okay, very good, David. All right. I forgot to mention that Jake said that Rafa Benitez, he truly believes that Rafa Benitez will be playing a 4-2-3-1. So keep that in mind when you are talking about what Fulham need to do to win this match, because I want your thoughts on this. I've already shared what he said. Do you agree with Jake that we just need to take it to them? Or is that just a standard talk that we say in every match, David? You know, just take it to them in the beginning and get that early goal. So what would be your strategy tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, that would certainly be the strategy. That, you know, for them, they're the big boys. They're the favourites. You know, they've come down to this league. They're too good for this league. This is the kind of, you know, sort of things maybe that Fulham were thinking, you know, a couple of years ago, we're too good for this league, we're going to walk it, we're going to get straight back up. And you know, they need a rude awakening. They need to see that the championship is a lot tougher than perhaps people envisage it to be, even though they are very heavily tipped. And that is a pressure for them, of course, that they, you know, they may just a little bit be thinking it's going to be easier than it is. So we've got to show them it's not. I would never ever advocate sitting back and see what happens. You know, taking the game slowly. Never. Don't invite the pressure from the opposition. We've done it a lot of times. We've been in winning positions and we sat back. We've made negative substitutions and we've just invited the pressure on ourselves. Let's not invite the pressure. Attack is the best form of defence. All these old cliches, you're going to hear them again this season. The table doesn't lie. All these things will be out again. I'll be wheeling out my book. I've probably got more than this book of general knowledge in front of me here. of cliches to wheel out. Even Brian Clough might come back at some stage.
No, Brian Clough. Please, no Brian Clough.
You know, take the game to them from the first whistle. Take the game to them. Disrupt them. Stop them playing. That's what you got to do.
I totally agree with you. You know, again, when I was talking to Jake, I mean, Jake was pretty much emphasizing this. You know, he has respect for Fulham going into this match. He's nervous about this match because Newcastle don't have a great recent history at Craven Cottage, so he's a little nervous. And he actually respects what they've done in the transfer market so far. So he sees this as a tight match, and so do I. All right, David, like you said, this is going to be difficult, so give me your starting 11.
This is impossible. I don't even know who's going to play in goal, to be honest with you. The fact that Bettinelli's been given the number one, is that a symbolic measure, or is that just purely he was number one last year and to give him a different shirt, he would be put out by it? I'm not even sure if we're going to see Bettinelli. I think between the three, we will probably see Button. Saying that, you know, after Joranen coming out last week and claiming, even he could be in with a chance. But I feel that Button has been brought in to be first choice. I might be wrong, or I might be right, and that could still change if he doesn't, you know, hit the ground running either. But I'm going to put my neck out and say Button for tomorrow. Defence, now we've already talked about this.
Interesting.
The romantic idea is definitely have Sessegnon on at left back,
yeah.
I think. Odoi at right, Callas and Maddle in the middle, I think. But will we see that? Or will he feel that, you know, I don't know. If we don't go for that, I think, yeah, the likelihood is probably that we'll see Odoi switch to left and we'll see Stearman probably come in either to play right back, which is not what I like to see, or to Callas to go to right back. And the formation is also, you know, I'd like to see my 3-5-2, but I don't quite feel that he's going that way at the moment. We haven't seen it once pre-season. We've seen four at the back all the time. So I think we're going to see something that will resemble a cross between a 4-5-1 and a 4-3-3, maybe with one central striker and two playing off, something along that way. Who is that central striker? Will it be Matt Smith or will it be Cawley?
I think it'll be Cawley if you're asking me. I think it'll be Cawley.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you. I'm just kind of rationalising in my head.
I
think we're likely to see Kevin McDonald and Scott Parker potentially, though. If we talk about this 4-2-3-1, perhaps we'll see them as the two then.
Okay.
The three has got to be Kearney, and maybe IET and probably a Luku, I think, something like that. And the one up front, I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe Matt Smith will get the nod. I'm not sure why. And Mike Greg, if he's listening now, will be pulling his hair out, I think. We could likely see Cawley, but I'm not sure if Cawley is really the man to play as a one lone striker. Maybe Matt Smith a little bit better, but it really depends on the support he gets. So we might see Nyder and someone else come in. I guess what's probably safe to say, and I could be correct if I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone else coming in now would be eligible to play anyway.
That's correct, David.
I don't think even if they're on loan, probably not now. So I don't think we'll see anyone from outside of that group. But, yeah, I'm going to go with that. We'll say Matt Smith as a lone striker with Kearney, Aluku and IET playing, you know, behind him somewhere, McDonald and Parker in the middle, and the four at the back, as I said, with Button in goal. And I'll tweet tomorrow to say how many I got right, like always.
Okay, David, and I look forward to the message you get from Mike Gregg.
Oh, I'm going to get abuse now, I know.
Not a problem, my friend. Very, very good, though. I've enjoyed this show, my friend. All right, let's go to predictions. Very interesting predictions before I go to you. I'll start with the Counterstock Facebook page. Some very interesting predictions here. Chris Cox, Fulham to win 2-1. Ben Hardwick is going with 1-1. Mike O'Connor's going 2-0 to Fulham. Chris Davidson in Spain, Newcastle will be far too strong for most championship teams. He sees Fulham losing 2-0, I fear, but we will get better and play. We will get better and play weaker opposition. I think he's talking about when we play weaker teams because this is a very strong team. John Mason. I would like to think we could get a 1-1 draw, but expect we could lose by the odd goal. Having said that, I'm fairly optimistic for the season ahead. Joe Smythe has 1-1. Colin Bugler, 2-1 to Fulham, or a 1-1 draw. Chris Baugh says, I think Newcastle edge it, but I honestly think the performance is far more important than the result tomorrow, 2-1 to Newcastle. Colin Forknow, 2-0 win with Oluko and Aite scoring. Stephen O'Keefe, draw 1-1. John Wright also has a 1-1 draw. And Alan Freestone, 4-1 to the home side. Very interesting. Okay. All right, David, now I'm going to go to the Cutters Talk Twitter page. I put up a 2-hour poll, and it's just about up. I've had 194 votes. Loss is at 26%. Draw is at 29%. Victory is at 45%. Very interesting. Wow, the Fulham supporters that voted, the majority of them have a victory. All right, David, it's time for your prediction.
Well, I haven't predicted it on the Twitter page, so I'm not any of those numbers today. But I'm going to employ the tactics that I have employed on many times before, and unfortunately tend to be quite accurate. On the basis that Friday nights is not normally a good night for us, and Sky cameras being there makes it worse. And we're facing a very strong team, and potentially, you know, we've lost both our main goal scorers from last season. And also creators of goals. I do think that the stats will favour Newcastle really on this one, and it's Newcastle's game to lose. And you know, for Fulham, it's going to be a tough night. So you know, I see Newcastle running out winners, unfortunately. But this is, you know, it's said with the point that this is a no lose thing, because I could be right about that, and if I'm wrong, I'm happy because we win. So 3-1 to Newcastle. But let's see, anything better than that, a draw or a win, and perhaps it could be a very good season for Fulham.
Okay, so for you, if they do get a result, David, it's a very positive sign, but you're going on past history with Friday nights, with Newcastle being the big club. I understand where you're going, so you're going 3-1, and I understand why you're picking Newcastle. I certainly understand that. Let me ask you, before I give you my prediction, if for some reason, and someone actually wrote this on the Cutters Talk Facebook page, if the performance is decent but they still lose, say 2-1 or 3-1, would you be encouraged if the performance is better?
Almost certainly. It's the nature of the game. If we lose and we're unlucky, perhaps we've played well, then I'll take a lot more hope from it. But if a lot of the old problems are still there, you know, poor defending, especially at set pieces. And not using pace, you know, messing around with the ball in midfield, too many passes, too many touches, not wanting to shoot, then I'll probably be more negative. So I want to see, regardless of what the final score is, I want to see, you know, a change and a positive improvement in the way we play.
Okay, and I'm there with you. I want to see a change. And the match is on here, BN Sports, so I'll be able to watch it live, which is fantastic, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, David, my prediction, I've made this prediction in several places, so I'm not changing it. Jake actually changed his prediction. Initially, he had it at 1-1, but he changed it to a 2-1 victory for Newcastle, and I understand why he changed it. You know, very easily could be a 2-1 victory for Newcastle. Like I said, it could be 1-1. David, I'm going with the 1-1 draw, and if they get this 1-1 draw, I think that would be encouraging. So I'm not going with a victory. I'm actually trying to be a little realistic here, because I know who they're playing. I know of all these top players, and I also know that they're facing Rafa Benitez, a top manager. So that's why I am going with a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
What, no comment?
We'll see what happens.
Okay, my friend. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, it's been good to do the show again, and I look forward to next time. Not sure when it will be yet, but let's hope that I'm right about the team and wrong about the result.
Absolutely, David. And again, I just want to say to the Fulham supporters that listen to Cottage Talk, thank you. And David, it just seems like whenever I do a show with you, there are plenty of Goldmans. I think I probably had a dozen today. So it wouldn't, like you said, it wouldn't be a show without a Goldman. But I just want to thank everyone for listening. This is a show I love to do. and I do it with some great people. All the shows are different. David, when I do it with you, it is definitely different. It's more comedic when I do it with you. I actually really enjoy it. Before we go, my final thought involves you giving me a little bit of a quiz. How about you give me a quiz before we sign off?
Oh, I'll open the page at random then, yeah?
Yeah.
It's completely at random. Oh,
okay.
My God. It's about religion. How are you on religion? Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm not good on religion. Don't give me religion.
All right, I'll move it somewhere else then, yeah?
Okay.
We'll find another one there.
This is a live show, by the way, David.
I know, yeah. It tells you that the first hits and things for bands, yeah? So,
okay.
Or the biggest
That's a good
hits
one.
For certain bands.
Okay.
I don't know if I put one for that. Actually, what am I looking at? I've got about so many pages. I don't know what I'm looking at, Russ.
All
right,
David.
Have a look if I can find one for you very quickly.
Okay.
What was
David?
Nice
this is making for boring radio.
Then.
We're gonna have to go.
Yeah. What was the first hit for the Beatles?
She Loves You.
Well, according to this, their first hit was Love Me Do.
Really?
1962.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, that's a very good one. And I love the early Beatles. I can understand it being Love Me Do, but
that's in the UK. Maybe it was different in the US, of course. But
maybe because maybe She Loves You broke in the US first. Because I Want to Hold Your Hand was huge here, but I thought it was She Loves You, but maybe Love Me Do was the first hit in the UK.
On that note, I'll speak to you again soon.
Okay. Well, it is time to wrap up the show for David Holly. I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cotter's Talk. Cheers, my friend.
Thanks, Russ. See everyone. Bye-bye.